Hello, welcome to the first debut show of the Leader in Motion web talk radio. My name is Christine LePerrier. I'm your host, and I'm really looking forward to talking to everybody about how to bring their best self to work. This is the first show, so one thing I'll mention here is the objective of the show is to figure out how to help us remain authentic and connected spiritually, even in the workplace. Today I want to talk about some of the conflicts that exist in the work world. I want to discuss new ways to approach everyday office drama. And if anything, maybe find a little humor and a little irony that helps us laugh when we think of today's work world. One thing that I really want to help people think about, and even maybe myself, is how to bring spirituality into the work world in a very practical and usable format. So on this show each week, as you dial in, please expect to hear things like new themes that you can try out in the work world, some action items and some food for thought for you to take back to the office, some interviews with different professionals in various roles. I want to talk to people at the working level, right down to the administrative assistant and all the way up to the CEO. What are those working roles look like, and what are some of the challenges that come with bringing your most authentic and most spiritual self to work? A lot of the time, those two worlds don't align. I also want to take callers, invite people into the chat room, and allow us all to have discussions about what people are seeing and living and experiencing in the work world. I think today's work world in general is very competitive, it's very cutthroat, it's all about numbers, and most of the time we're rewarded by revenue and money, so it does inspire a true love of money. It's filled with politics and motivations and challenging customers, so I think a lot of people that I work with in the business world really see that there's a lot of very intense, very competitive things happening in the work world, and it doesn't always inspire us to be our most thoughtful, loving, sharing selves. I think with this, when we're working in these environments, a lot of the times this can create a lot of stress, and it impacts our health, our relationships, our kids, our family, our spouses, all for trying to help ourselves stay successful in today's corporate environment. One thing I'll mention here, just introduce myself a little bit further. My name is Christine LePerrier, and I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. I have a very interesting background given the radio show that I'm getting ready to do, being that my undergrad and master's degree is in mechanical engineering, and I started my career as a design engineer in the automotive industry. This was a very interesting time for me because I really got a chance to work in a large corporation and see a lot of the different dynamics as they played out. While I was at Chrysler, I did a rotational program, so I had the opportunity to work in 8 different departments and see different management styles, different leadership styles, different business processes, et cetera. After my 8 years in automotive, I went to a boutique management consulting firm and had the opportunity to start working with businesses on helping them improve productivity, helping them improve the bottom line, and really helping drive improved profits. So essentially, in that work, I had a new role of actually working on the outside of the business, looking at it holistically and seeing all the mechanics at play, especially the people issues. And I really found myself drawn to all the different people-related issues that take place as you're helping a company undergo change. In 2008, I started my own business. I'm a channel partner with Miller Hyman, and I work today with helping large businesses with complex business-to-business selling environments become more productive and more effective. In my work today, I do a lot of selling, coaching, facilitating, speaking, and consulting work. So my engagements can be very involved in management coaching and helping companies become more effective from a leadership standpoint. And it can also be bringing a lot of really effective process to the business development world. That's a little bit about my career, but what's really more interesting is that my hobby and my passion it has always been spirituality and motivation and personal development, personal growth. I spent a lot of time listening to motivational speakers, following the Franklin Coveys and Malcolm Gladwells and Patrick Lencioni's, but also following the Byron Katie's and Michael Neal's and Wayne Dyer's of the world. So when you look at it, there's this real passion for business and then a real passion for spirituality. In my spare time, I found myself getting into more meditation, more yoga, more Kabbalah. I have a neurolinguistic programming certification, and I've spent quite a bit of time at some of the Buddhist centers around Toronto and finished a one-year certification with the Gestalt Psychotherapy School last year in downtown Toronto. So it's interesting that I have this strong passion for spirituality, not so much religion, but spiritual growth, personal growth. That's my hobby outside of work. So I think the reason why I'm really drawn to having these conversations is not so much because I feel I'm an expert in any of these fields, but more because I feel I have a lot of passion and enthusiasm for how the two overlap. One of the things that kept happening to me as my hobbies outside of work were spirituality, and I was in a very intense corporate environment working my way up the chain, is that the two worlds always seemed to be in conflict. So I would go and spend a lot of time studying Kabbalah and spiritual practices, and then I'd go into work the next day, and as soon as I'd get to my desk, it was like I had to change over who I was and now adapt to the corporate environment. And the more and more I talk to people, the more I'm seeing that this is a common theme. A lot of people really feel this way as well. Some of the things, you know, I'd spend time listening in amazement to motivational speakers as they explain their life journey and how everything happens for a reason. And then the very next day, I'd go into work and feel terrible for firing an employee that wasn't happy or motivated about their job. Meanwhile, never thinking about the fact that they were probably going on to really have the opportunity to find their passion. I'd go to a meditation center and really find comfort in the trusting and allowing of everything to unfold just the way it's meant to be. And then I'd go to work and try to control the outcomes and the market and the economy and the sales numbers and all the people on staff. It would be a complete direct disconnect with what I had just been practicing the night before at a meditation. I'd be at a studying Kabbalah at the Kabbalah Center in Toronto, spending that evening talking about how to share and bring more energy to the world, and then find myself going to work the very next day, and somebody comes over and asks for help, and my instinctive reaction in the back of my head is silently, this is not my job. Why am I doing this? So I find that that's the part that there's always a conflict for some reason about the way these two pieces, spirituality and business, show up at the same time. So that being said, today I'm going to have Michelle Arbeau on. She's going to come on, and what's interesting about Michelle is that when I decided that this radio show would be a really neat way for me to start having these kind of conversations with different professionals and different people that have experienced that same kind of feeling that I have, I pitched this idea to Michelle, who was just starting Authentic You Radio, and I basically said to her, you know, here's my idea. Do you think it'll float? And one of the first things, she immediately got it. She immediately understood exactly what I was talking about. And Michelle had worked for UPS and had worked for CIBC before she left to become a numerologist and take on Authentic You Radio. And she really found that right off the bat, she knew exactly what I was talking about. So I thought she would make a great first guest, and I could interview her a little bit on some of the ways that she sees this same disconnect showing up in her working world. Michelle, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me, Christine. It's an honor to be on your debut show. And I have to say, just listening to you talk, I love your accent. And I don't know if you mentioned this to your listeners, but you're from where again?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and I currently, the last 10 years, I've lived in Toronto, Ontario. So I always say yes. I'm a motherless child because my accent now has some Detroit and it has some Canadian Toronto theme to it.
It's cute. It's cute. I love it.
Thanks so much for coming on. So I wanted to, like I said, I introduced you saying that really the reason I brought you on is you were probably one of the first people that said, I really, really love this idea, and I could actually see it working. I could see it making good sense from a radio show perspective as to why people would want to have these conversations and listen to this idea. So, you know, we had talked. I'd love to ask you some questions about when you were in the corporate world. I think you had mentioned even UPS, right, was one of the places you worked?
Yes, I started off in UPS when I was in my early 20s. So I was just starting out, and my first, really, it was my first job, and it was straight into the corporate world.
Right. And I know you had mentioned that you saw this show up even in that first job. You know, right off the bat, you noticed somewhat of a disconnect with who you authentically were and, you know, maybe who you really wanted to be and the way that you felt you had to act in that environment given the way that it, you know, it was functioning.
Yes. Well, you know, I was a total people pleaser to the ninth degree, you know, always, you know, my mind was always wrapped up in how could I look better in the eyes of my managers and all the people around me. So it was really, you know, I wasn't being myself. I was putting on some kind of a mask to, you know, try to please everybody. You know, it was kind of one of those scenarios where, you know, you can't please everybody, but you really, really try, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, as you were in that environment, what were some of the things that you noticed around you that made you feel like you needed to be a people pleaser?
Well, you know, the corporate world's all about numbers, of course, right? It's all about the
right.
bottom line. How quickly can you get things done? How efficiently? And, you know, all the people around me were, you know, doing the same thing. I mean, they were trying to be the fastest, the best, you know, all of that in what they did because that's how they got the recognition, right? It wasn't about
right.
recognizing so much their talents. It was about how quickly could they get it done and get it on the manager's desk, you know, and
right.
get it finished. So that was what, you know, everyone was struggling to do. And so, you know, it wasn't an environment at all where I could be myself. And I always found myself as, you know, being the odd duck out anyway. You know, I was kind of that
right.
person all along. And so fitting into this mold, fitting into this cookie cutter, you know, go to work, slap it out, get it done, you know, and that it just
right.
was so not me because I'm kind of one of those artistic types that think with the other half of my brain, so it was just not a good fit for me right from the get-go. But of course, it took me many years to recognize that. But
right.
you know, lessons learned and
right.
experience gained.
Well, and I was going to say, I mean, the one thing that's interesting about it is that experience obviously brought great things to you moving forward. So, would you agree with that?
Yes, I mean, it totally helped me. To recognize, I mean, being a people pleaser in the beginning, to recognizing that in order for me to be happy and less stressed and, you know, able to release some of that built-up tension was to actually speak my truth and say, you know, tell my managers when I couldn't handle the load or that I couldn't, you know, get it done in X amount of time, you know, speaking
right.
up and saying that and saying, you know, I need help or, you know, actually not pretending to be something that I wasn't or something that I couldn't do, you know, and still trying it anyway, but knowing I couldn't do it. So speaking my truth in that way and really, it boils down to ego, really, in a lot of ways, you know, saying, saying that you, not that you're weak, but that you're, you know, open to help and open to, I don't know. I guess I'm struggling for words, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, what I think is interesting about it is when I think about spirituality and work and how the two intermingle, a lot of the times when people are working in those environments just like you were, they find them incredibly stressful. They find them to be, you know, the larger the gap is between who you really are and how you're acting at work, the more stressful that it can feel for the person that's working in that environment. But that being said, when I think of spirituality in the workplace, I wonder, I like to ask the question, was that job there to prepare you to be the person that you were supposed to be?
Yes, because it helped me shed the whole people pleaser thing. I mean, you can't be happy doing that. I mean, you just can't go through life trying to please everybody. And so,
right.
You know, I moved on from UPS and I moved into CIBC, and that followed me there. You know, I kept doing the same thing and coming home and feeling wiped and feeling completely drained, and then spending my evenings thinking about the next day and how I would, you know, get the race finished more quickly. You know, get it
right.
Get it out, get it slapped under the desk, and get my gold star on the top of my page, you know?
Right, right. And that's what I think is very interesting about different positions and as you're working in different roles. And I would ask anybody that's listening to this to ponder this. How was that job maybe, you know, divinely planted there so that you could help develop a skill set or a trait that you needed to be more successful in all parts of your life?
Well, I needed to speak up. You know, like I said in the beginning, I was so shy. I mean, as a child, I was painfully shy, you know, not able to even speak my truth at all, you know, not even able
right.
to speak up. And then moving into my first job at, you know, coming out of college and heading into the corporate world at, you know, 22, 23, I was still in that mode of thinking that I couldn't speak up, that I was, you know, I wasn't supposed to say anything. And you know, near the end of my role at CIBC, I was really recognizing how to speak my truth and how to say how I felt and how to say my wants and needs. And it really evolved over that stretch of, you know, I don't know, 22 to
right.
26. You know, it was a small gap because I wasn't there very long, but it did really help me to step into that, to really, because you know, coming to work, you know, when you talk about bringing your best self to work, I mean, closing down and not feeling like you can speak your mind or speak what your heart is wanting you to say, I mean, that is incredibly out of alignment.
Mm-hmm. And so if you were to give some coaching or some advice to some callers maybe who are sitting in their office each day, having a very difficult time speaking their truth. They probably are experiencing the stress of numbers, the stress of results, the stress of the politics of, you know, their boss and their boss's boss and how that all unfolds. There's a lot of fear around whether or not they're going to get to keep their job, especially in today's economy. People are nervous about what's going to happen next. How would you help somebody to display that characteristic that you're talking about?
Well, I think it boils down to just being honest with yourself, you know, and really kind of doing a little bit of soul searching and saying, you know, is this role for me? And I think that it will help you. I'm not saying, you know, do as I did and completely leave the corporate world. It may not be your path. Maybe it is that you're meant to stay there, but the particular role that you're doing may not be for you, and you won't know that if you're not being honest with yourself and speaking your truth and telling your supervisor when there's too much to handle, or and they may be able to, you know, recognize by you speaking your truth more often that, you know, maybe Sarah or James isn't suited for this role. I think they might be a much better fit over here, or, you know, and not speaking up, you would never know that, and you'd continue on in that position and thinking it's the right thing for you, and it may not be. So when you speak your
right.
truth, it opens doors. It really does. You know, when you're speaking up and speaking from the heart and really expressing yourself that way, it opens opportunities. It allows things to flow to you. So, you know, that
right.
that manager recognizing that because you're speaking up and because you're saying, you know, I'm having a hard time with this, or I can't handle this load. It's just too much for me. And so that those things can open doors for you and help shift you to where you need to be within that environment.
Yeah. And I think that we see that all the time. A lot of my clients, when I'm working with them, people that do have that capability to really communicate where they're coming from, ironically, end up ultimately in really excellent positions for themselves because people can identify what they're good at, the opinions that they have, how they can best suit the organization, and it actually helps them excel. So I've
Yes.
seen a couple times where it might move them out of one role and into another. I think one thing, you know, even with myself, one of my challenges is not usually speaking up, ironically enough, but what I find that, you know, if I'm talking to people about what I'm passionate about and how I feel about things, they have a tendency to spot me and move me into different positions. And I think, you know, if you even go back to my days with Chrysler, they really saw quickly I needed to be on my feet, I needed to be working with people, and move me into manufacturing environments from a design office, because they could see that that was going to fulfill me more. And I moved into that role, and it did fulfill me more, although there was opportunity for me to grow into another role that would be even better for me. So it's interesting how life unfolds when you are being open and honest and taking somewhat of a stance in the workplace.
Yes, unlike me, who was trying to be jack of all trades and master of none.
Right.
You know, recognizing what I could and couldn't do and speaking up about it and saying, you know, I don't think I'm suited for this, or I don't think that this is my thing, or whatever. I could have said a million different things, but didn't. And that's one of the things I would say to listeners, is that, you know, start being honest with yourself and actually, you know, get up the courage to speak about it, to express your truth, express what your heart is saying, because it will absolutely open doors.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a great message, and I like the idea of kind of carrying that today as the theme or the message for people to chew on. I think asking people, you know, so each week I really want to put out a what I'll call food for thought for anybody that's listening, and give them a couple takeaway assignments for, you know, how do you take, you know, what we just talked about here and make it somewhat practical. So I think, you know, listening to you, Michelle, the thing that comes to my mind is if I was going to ask somebody to try to implement some of the things that you're talking about, I'd ask them to go into work and really think about some of those meetings where they're having internal dialogue and thinking a whole lot of strong opinions about a topic, but they're not speaking up. I think many people can relate to sitting in a meeting and sitting silently and listening to the entire conversation unfold, and in the back of their head there's some strong screaming dialogue running in the back of their mind. There's no reason that we can't be, you know, politically correct and effective in the way that we explain what we're thinking and still share it with the rest of the group. Second of all, I'd say we need to think about the fact that maybe a lot of other people are thinking what you're thinking. So when you talk about speaking up at work and owning your voice, I find that when you really go poll people behind the scenes who aren't speaking up in a meeting, a lot of the time they actually have the same opinion of the few other outcasts. And if they would actually all speak their truth, they could bring so much more value and so much more balance to the type of business activities that are taking place. So I think that's another area where I'd say, you know, let's challenge ourselves to speak up when we have an idea or a thought. And the third is, I think if you're coming from your most authentic place, or you're in the alignment with who you really are and you're speaking your truth, people can disagree, but typically will respect that. Don't you agree, Michelle?
I do. You know, and that's a good point you mentioned before, was that, you know, they can affect change for other people as well when you're speaking your truth. So the whole chain reaction, I love that.
Yeah. You'll create an environment where you'll facilitate other people having that opportunity to speak their truth as well, and I think that's important. So thank you so much for letting me pick your brain. Like I said, you were one of the first that really believed in this idea, and I mentioned this. What's really interesting is I mentioned this business and spirituality concept to a lot of different people over the holidays, and I get a lot of really mixed reactions. People in the business world often don't know if they really want to associate with that. I think sometimes they get nervous that it's religion, which is definitely not the objective of the show, is to preach any kind of religion, but they get very, very nervous to even speak on the behalf of being spiritual in the workplace, because I think any professional knows that there's times that they've had to make decisions that were very tough decisions and might not have been in alignment with maybe what they really felt was right. And so it's interesting how many people get nervous trying to step up and be, let's say, a role model of business and spirituality. I don't think any of us really can claim that. But I'm glad you came out and, like I said, talk to me a little bit about this, and gave us a chance to kick around maybe our first theme for the Business and Spirituality show.
It was my pleasure. You know, I just want to add as well before we wrap up the show is that, you know, the whole Occupy Wall Street thing, and that's why I thought that this mm-hmm. show would be such a great topic, because I think that that is a whole reflection, too, of, you know, people wanting authenticity within the business environment, you know, instead of having, and it so reminds me, you know, of school. You know, the traditional model of school is needing to be changed, but for some reason, it just can't be penetrated. And I think this is another world, the whole corporate business world, that is really lacking the whole spiritual component, you know, all of that. And it's a really tough area to crack into, but I think that you're going to do great with it. I think that, you know, the way that you're proceeding with the show is going to capture a broad audience, and I think it's so sorely needed, especially, like I say, with the whole Occupy Wall Street. The world is ready for this. You know, they're ready to enough's enough kind of thing, and they want truth and integrity in business. And we don't want to have to check our, you know, soul at the door when we come to work. We want to be able to be who we are and be that person always.
Right, and exactly that, much to my point. I think when I'm talking to people in the business world and I mention the themes of this, they look at me almost with, you know, a deer in headlights going, it's a great idea in theory but impossible in practice, and get very, very nervous about how could you ever convey how those two would match. You know, I see that a lot when I'm talking about this idea, and I think to your point, you know, Occupy Wall Street and some of the other things that we're seeing out there, I mean, people are starting to really demand that they are in environments that make them feel whole, make them feel, you know, we're asking for less stress, we're asking for more of a mind-body connection with everything that we do, and so people are starting to feel that, but just aren't sure yet how to actually act that out in the workplace. So I'm excited for some of the conversations that will be coming up. So, again,
you're a pioneer.
I'm trying. Again, you know, I'm not claiming any kind of expertise, but I'm really claiming a lot of enthusiasm, and I think that that's the important part. I'm really hoping to get people to call in and to write and to interview and join the conversation, and let's talk about how complicated it can be and how, you know, how difficult it can be to have these pulling objectives, you know, knowing that you need to make your revenue numbers, but also knowing that you need to, you know, help people have the best life that that they're put here to have. You know, how do you help create that balance in the workplace? So I'm really hoping that we'll have a lot of those types of conversations, and I'll be able to inspire some different people that are in tough jobs to think about it differently and approach it with a new set of eyes. So I'm excited.
Me too.
Thank you so much. So as we wrap up, I'll just mention that my website again is www.leaderinmotion.com. I'm also on LinkedIn under Christine LePerrière, and on Facebook and on Twitter at Leader in Motion again. So if anybody wants to connect, I know I always appreciate hearing from people and talking to new people and meeting new people. So I'll encourage anybody to reach out and connect. And until next time, next week, same time, same place, I'll be bringing forth a new theme, new concept, and I will have a new guest for interview. So I'm very excited about that, and I'll look forward to rolling that out with everybody next week. That being said, thank you so much, and have a good night. Good night, Michelle.